Well, let's get the answer and see what Craig Button thinks about all this hoopla from last night. Our TSN hockey analyst, Craig Button, joining Leafs Lunch as he does each and every Thursday. You know what, Craig? Controversy aside, we'll get to the controversial stuff first, but I want to start with you on a positive note. What can you say about the determination of Nazem Kadri to not only get himself physically and mentally prepared to return to action just 2 weeks after thumb surgery, but then also to play hero in overtime with that beautiful game-winning goal?
Nazem Kadri wouldn't have written that storybook ending. I mean, that's what it was, a storybook ending for Nazem Kadri return to the lineup. But let's keep in mind, you know, when it was announced about a surgery, he said, "I'll be back." He said it. And you know what? Nazem Kadri's a dyed-in-the-wool competitor. And, you know, trying to find a way to get in there. And even Jared Bednar, he said, you know what? He's going to be out for the remainder of the series. He was talking about the Edmonton series, if not longer. If not longer. They had a pretty good idea of what the situation was with the thumb, the surgery, and then, you know, seeing how he responded to it. He responded magnificently, and obviously taking that pass, you know, moving it in, attacking Sergachev, and then putting it where he did. I mean, tells you that he's more than capable of operating with that thumb in the state that it's in. But just magnificent play by Nazem Kadri. But there's no question that he was determined to play in the Stanley Cup final. He picked a great time to have a great moment.
Oh, yeah.
Craig, I'm always curious about things like this. And, you know, you were a general manager in the league. What's going through a general manager's head when a guy on your team, like Kadri did last night, says, "I'm going to play no matter what. I had the surgery. I got the cast. I shaved it off so it can fit in my glove." Like, what is the GM thinking when a player is going through all this to try and help the team win?
Well, the first thing you're doing is you just love the spirit of the player. Like, you know, because, you know, that's what it comes down to. The second part of it, and this is where you have to ensure that you're not putting the player at risk of greater harm. So that's when you deal with the medical staff and you talk with the medical staff. Okay, what does this mean? How does it work? And players, like, are going, okay, I just want to play. Just tell me, I want to get in there. Okay, shave it down. Do this. Make this padding. Do whatever you need to do. But you want to be really as certain as you can be that him playing is not going to put him at greater risk of further damage to that thumb. So love it, the fact that the player wants to play. But once you're satisfied on the medical thing, hey, listen, just open up the door, tell them to get ready for the game, and let's go. I think that's where you're at. I mean, Frankie, you know this, is that you get to this point in the playoffs, and I don't care if you're in the junior playoffs, college playoffs, NHL playoffs, players are playing hurt. What you don't want to do is put an injured player into a lineup where he's at risk of hurting himself more, because that's not good. And that's what you have to make sure that you evaluate with the medical staff. And Colorado Avalanche did that. And Nazem Kadri now gets in there and plays.
I'll have you know, Craig, I also know about a thing or two when it comes to returning from injuries. I once separated a shoulder in rugby, returned a week later. I'll have you know, Craig.
But we don't evaluate and analyze rugby. We're only analyzing hockey. I played a little rugby in high school, AB, and I know how tough the rugby players are. It is a great game, and I know how tough they are. So nobody's doubting your toughness. I was just kind of relaying that. So I can't say, you can't say to me, "Well, Craig, you know about rugby." I don't.
It's funny because it always happens to Brian Hayes where they'll say, "Jamie Noodles, you know this," because they played the game, and it finally happened to me with the "Frankie, you know this." I'm like, "Oh, now I know how Hazy B feels." In conversation with Craig Button.
I'm glad you two have bonded. I'm glad you two have bonded.
Oh, yeah. Bell's brother's been my guy for a while.
Oh, yeah. Craig Button on the line, TSN hockey analyst. I guess now we can get to the negative Nelly stuff and talk about the main storyline that came out of last night, unfortunately, and it's the controversial ending. Yes, Nazem Kadri scored the goal, and then about 15 minutes later, John Cooper gets up on the podium and says, "Probably still should be playing, and you will see shortly after." And we did see a too many men on the ice call. There's been plenty of replays and that shows that it probably should have been a too many men on the ice call. What do you think of this whole mess and the fact that the whistles went away in the third period entirely? How bad of a look is this for the NHL to go through this during a Stanley Cup final?
I'm going to deal with these incidents separately. I'm going to start with the too many men on the ice penalty. You know what? There's pictures where there's 13 skaters on the ice. 7 for the Tampa Bay Lightning, 6 for the Colorado Avalanche. You know, on that long change that happens in the first overtime and second periods of games, you know, you get that. If you want to start going by the letter of the law, go ahead. You know what? You're going to be calling 15 of those penalties every game. And
exactly.
You know, the way I look at it is, did any team have a disadvantage from the exchange of players going on and off the ice? Did any team gain an advantage with the exchange of players going on and off the ice? I think the officials clearly saw it because they're watching for it. On that exact play, AB, all the officials, specifically the linesmen, they're watching the benches. They are exactly watching. They did not see it. They said, no, that's not too many men on the ice. And I don't think it was. And I don't think it should have been called. You know, so, you know what, at the end of it, you know, like John Cooper, when he first came out, and I said this last night on SC, I thought he was making a concession speech, you know, talking about everything that, like, you know, was in the end. And then as he went on, we saw what he was doing. Listen, John's terrific. We know that he's articulate. If you got a beef with the officials, just come out and say you have a beef with the officials. Like, what was that all about? Really?
Yeah.
It'd be like somebody saying to me, Craig, you are doing a fantastic job. I can't believe how much you've helped us grow. I can't believe what fantastic work you do. Oh, by the way, we're letting you go. What? Like, you know, like he praised the NHL right before.
I think I got sent down like that a couple times, Craig. I got sent down to the minors. Like, hey, yeah, no, you're doing great. We're so happy with you. We're going to send you to the minors. You're going to love it.
Yeah, exactly, Frankie. Like, same thing. Like, so, like, really? Like, John? Like, really? That's, but anyway, you know, he's disappointed. He's somber. I get it all. But, like honestly, there's no way. So the NHL puts out their statement. I think it's fine. Like, no problem. You try to do it. Now I'll deal with the other issue, which was the third period. I'm focused in on the third period. And like players, okay, like players, sometimes officials have bad nights. Wes McCauley and Kelly Sutherland had a bad night because we've heard all the way through the playoffs, you know, about this, even leading into the playoffs, are they going to uphold the standard? Is the standard? Is the standard going to be uphold? And you know what? All the way through. There was nothing to say that the standards haven't been upheld and they've been done there. Somewhere along the line, Kelly and Wes decided they weren't going to call penalties. That's a bad look. Now, you know what? Just because you had a bad night doesn't mean you're a bad official. This means you made some decisions that I think that most people would agree, and Jared Bednar or John Cooper can have their own beefs about the way it was done in the third period. And me, you know, Can't, and I don't think the NHL, you know, deal with it. You just say, hey, listen, we need to be better. What does Steve Stamkos say after game 2? It's unacceptable. We need to be better. We got to find solutions. That's not who we are. I think that's the way the NHL is with the officials. And Stephen Walkham, hey, you know where we are? Because when I say they decided not to call penalties, there's no way anybody told them to relax the standard. They decided they weren't going to call it. They had a rough night. And to me, I don't think that'll bleed into game 5. I think the officiating has been outstanding during these playoffs. You know, there's nights when, you know, somebody has an off night. For Wes McCauley and Kelly Sutherland, last night was that night.
Craig, I think I mentioned this before, just a little follow-up on that. But when I played in Sweden, I thought it was interesting, to say the least, that they actually made officials available after games. And I feel like it would never happen in the NHL just because that's a long and winding road that you can go down. But how would you feel about that? Like, I literally, after games in Sweden, you would see the officials being interviewed about things that happened on the ice. And I couldn't understand it because it was Swedish. But, like, would you be totally against that?
No, I think that the officials in the NHL should talk after the game in Swedish. so nobody can understand it. It would be perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. There you go.
There you go.
Because that's great.
No matter how you explain it, Francie, no matter how you explain it, right, are people going to accept your explanation? They really aren't. The game's already done and finished, right? It really, like, the NHL, after goal reviews, after, the situation room, they send out an explanation. I think the league does. Like, if we're going to start dissecting the game and having officials, linesmen, and referees both have to explain every little thing here based on what somebody, oh, why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? I just think we end up finding ourselves going down a path that I don't think is productive. And that's the way, if I thought there was a reason that it could be productive, I would certainly embrace it and open my mind to it. But I don't think there's productivity in it. And I think the NHL does a good job. Even last night, they said, hey, here's what happened. We didn't see it. We talked to the officials after. And by the way, it's not open to video review. And, maybe this is something for the GMs, Frankie, to talk about. Do we want to open that area for video review? Do we want to open it and let them have that discussion? Maybe it's worthy of a discussion to have it. But as for the officials talking after the game, I don't see that as productive.
Well, we were talking about that just as we were bringing you in, discussing why can't all goals be reviewable? Why can't you challenge every single one? Because the whole point of reviews and challenge is to get the play right. Well, if the officials got the play wrong and it resulted in a goal, you should be able to challenge it and review it. Like, that's the spirit of the review, is it not?
It is. But now what situations are we going to review? And I think that that's worthy of a good discussion, AB. I do believe that it is. So do we want to include that specific scenario in the domain of video review after goals under the goal review? So, I'm ready. I think it would be productive to hear the thoughts of the GMs and to hear what it would mean and if that's something that should be. But we've seen, like, think about the offside rule. Something that was in place for years and everything, they made an adjustment to it. And you know what? I think it's a good adjustment because we talk about spirit of the rules and everything. So maybe in this case, it's another good opportunity to explore it and even potentially add it as part of the goal review process. So I'm totally open to that, and I would encourage a discussion on it.
So here was
the only thing. Well, I was just going to say the only thing I see with that, Craig, is like if the language then says you're 5 feet, you have to be 5 feet away from the bench, and someone's going to challenge it. How are you going to determine if the guy's 6.5, 7 feet away? Like, there's too much gray area on that one.
No, I'm going to tell you, Frankie, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Al's brother's
got the answer. Exactly how it is, okay? I'm going to bring it right back to where we kind of started by talking about rugby. So in rugby, there's a little 5-yard dash marker 5 yards in from the outline, and that's where that's during the throw, and you got to have your feet on that line. Have a little hash mark 5 feet from the net so that or 5 feet from the bench so you know exactly where it is. If the guy is past that's 5 feet, that's good. If he's not, that's too many men, because that's exactly five feet.
You can color it a certain color, and you can sell ad space in there as well.
Exactly.
You want.
Revenue. You look at that. Hey, Gary Bettman, give me a job. Let's go.
Businessman, Frankie, solution-based AB. See, but that discussion, AB, what you just – so Frankie had his point, AB. You just had I think it's an excellent suggestion. And then we went to a business side of things. That's a discussion that can take place, right? Instead of starting with, no, we can't do that, well, let's consider what it would mean. And now we've got it in, okay, like you talk about rugby. So you know what, Frankie? You know what? AB does know. Like, we can never say
he
that.
He does know.
Yeah. So, but exactly what I'm talking about, that discussion, you guys just had it. That, to me, it really illustrates the discussion that would be really positive. So you and AB and Frankie, excellent.
They should fly us in for the next GM meetings, Craig. Craig, how surprised are you that the Avs are up 3-1 in this series and they just have one goal from Nathan MacKinnon? Like, what does that say about the depth of this team in Colorado?
Well, it says lots about the depth of the Colorado. And we know that. I mean, they've lost three games in the playoffs. And, even when we think about his goal in game four off his skate. I mean, it's not even one of his, patented shots or deeks or whatnot, right? So, you know, like, again, you know, Nathan has had some real good opportunities, and you look at, the chances he's had, and I get worried about players when they're not getting those chances. So the fact of the matter is he's getting chances, the other players are getting chances, and it does speak to volumes about the depth of their team. 15-3 to this point in the playoffs, and, you know, playing without Naz and Kadri for a stretch, you know, some other challenges that they've had, you know, with injuries, you know, big obviously with Naz and Kadri, some other ones not as big, but, you know, when you look at a deep team and a team that's been this successful in the playoffs, it requires contributions from a lot of other areas of their lineup, and they're getting that. You know, after game two, frankly, I said, geez, this looks like a different beast that the Tampa Bay Lightning are dealing with. And after game three, you tip your hat to the Tampa Bay Lightning. They find a solution again. What really impressed me now about Colorado is they found an adjustment to Tampa Bay's adjustment. I thought last night, as the game went on, they settled into a game. They said, okay, this is how it's going to be played. We're comfortable playing it. And then I thought they just kept pushing Tampa Bay further back and further back and further back. You know, if you're a fan, it doesn't sound right. But, like, to me, the right team won the game last night.
Yeah, I completely agree with that one. In conversation with Craig Button, TSN hockey analyst. Craig, we saw yesterday that Paul Maurice was introduced and named the new head coach in Florida. But this is a team that just won the President's Trophy and had their coach legitimately fired. I mean, or didn't get brought back. Are you surprised over the overhaul in the coaching staff out of Florida in the last couple of weeks?
Well, no, I'm not. And don't get me wrong here. I don't want to say that I expected this. It's not what I expected either. But what happened in 2018? The Stanley Cup winning coach, Barry Trotz, didn't have his contract renewed in Washington. And Barry Trotz was let go again here in Long Island. You know, that surprises me, right? Like, you go, what? Okay, so decisions get made. You know, one of the things, you know, when and Bill Zito had the opportunity to do this, he watched a really experienced coach, Joel Quenneville, take his team, and they had a heck of a series last year versus the Tampa Bay Lightning before losing in 16. So he's got the benefit of watching an experienced coach. Then he comes this year, and Andrew Brunette did an excellent job and deservedly so to be nominated for the Jack Adams. But also at the same time, now Bill gets to evaluate, okay, how does our team function and work under this level of experience as a coach? And I think that when I watched the playoffs and I saw the first round, I was not impressed with the Florida Panthers. You know, and Washington wasn't a good enough or deep enough team to take advantage, but they got obliterated by the Tampa Bay Lightning. And so I think Bill looks at it and goes, we have a really good team here. And I think that it came down to, he felt that experience would best serve this team at this moment in time. It doesn't take away anything that Andrew accomplished. It doesn't take away from the season that he had, the circumstances that he took over under. But at the same time, Bill's looking at his team, having the benefit of watching a three-time Stanley Cup champion experience and Joel Quenneville work with his group, watching how Andrew and saying, okay, can we continue to work with an inexperienced coach, and is that what best serves our team? I think that was a big factor in him making the decision to bring in Paul Maurice.
How much better do you think Paul Maurice can make this club? I mean, like, they just won the President's Trophy. Can his presence as a veteran coach, a guy who's won the league, he's been able to take veteran teams, he's gotten a lot out of them. Like, is this a team that you think their next step and the aspirations will be, look, we want to win a Stanley Cup, and we think Paul Maurice is the guy, and that's ultimately why they decided to make this decision?
Yeah, well, obviously they feel strongly about Paul as the guy, or you're not naming him as your head coach and making this type of movement. But I don't think, you know, it's not about the President's Trophy for me. It's symbolic of what you did during the regular season, and it's significant and really positive and should be celebrated. But you're trying to win a Stanley Cup. And when you go through that process of, you know, through the playoffs and you're trying to say, okay, what does our team need? And, you know, you look at Paul Maurice, this might be the most talented team he's ever going to coach. So, you know, you try to find that coach that's done good work and has that experience and try to intersect it with a team that looks like it's, you know, capable of taking that step towards competing for a Stanley Cup. There was massive disappointment in Florida at the end of the year. Nobody talked at the end of the year, yeah, but they won the President's Trophy, yeah, but. It was complete disappointment. And it's because the team, when they got pushed up against it, wasn't able to push through. So I think that Bill did that. And I think with Paul going to a team that has a lot of really strong elements into it, and I think has the capability to compete for the Stanley Cup in the coming seasons, that, you know, that's the rationale that I see Bill taking with the team. You guys may remember, you may not, it's a little bit different, but Del Harris was the head coach of the L.A. Lakers, and they were having lots of success, and he was a really successful coach. And they made a change because they feel they were getting to where they thought they could get to. And they brought in Phil Jackson. Then the Lakers won NBA championships. I think that's some of the thinking that Bill has in making this move.
Craig, how's it been out at the Memorial Cup? Looked like it's been some tight games, some good hockey. How you've been enjoying the hockey out east?
It's been great, Frankie, you know, to watch the players and the teams compete the way they do. I mean, they're coming off of championships in the case of three teams and a long layoff in the case of the host team, St. John Sea Dogs. But the hockey's been phenomenal. The overtime on Wednesday night was back and forth. It was unbelievable. The goaltending, breakaways, two-on-0s, two-on-1s. It was just phenomenal back and forth hockey, three-on-three overtime hockey, and it was fantastic. And the games have been tight. You know, it's easy to come into a tournament and say, okay, this team looks like they might be the favorite, or this team looks like they might be a little bit ahead of the other team. Right now, I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like any of the four teams are capable of winning the Memorial Cup. That means that we got a real competitive environment with teams that are really dialed in. And I think we're going to see the intensity pick up as it goes on here, because it's hard to ramp up after you've gone through a championship round. And now I think we're seeing these teams, you know, ramp it up again. Certainly saw it in the Wednesday night game with St. John and the Edmonton Oil Kings. And I don't think it'll be any different with Hamilton and Shawinigan on Thursday night.
Yep, and you can watch that game tonight on TSN 5, coverage starting at 5:30 Eastern time. Craig, appreciate the time as always. We'll chat again next week.
Yeah, thank you, guys. You have a great day.
You as well. There he goes. Craig Button, TSN hockey analyst and our resident general manager, director of player scouting.